All right, let's head out and have a chat with State Representative Kyle Cassell. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I finally got a little rest, so I feel like a normal human being.
Well, you know, we thought the budget was going to take a while, 15 hours on the Sanctuary City situation. And tell me how you feel about this piece of legislation that you came out with after 15 hours.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say thank you for allowing me to talk today because I was going to bed when you were going on the air Thursday. So
I understand.
Most important that we have a good relationship.
Yep.
You know, it's a tough situation. You're on the floor and you're divided in Republican and Democrats, and that issue particularly causes a great divide, and it's emotional and it's tough because we've got a lot of good work to do yet before the session ends. And, you know, that stressed a lot of relationships, but we had a responsibility to the people of Texas from the basis of security, and that is what we did. We tried, and I think this bill gets to the governor's desk. We provide another layer of security for our citizens.
Well, that's and again, it is. It's going to be an emotional issue, and certainly part of the Texas economy has to do with people who are undocumented. There's any doubt about that. I mean, there are a lot of people who depend on people who are not documented, and it would impact the Texas economy. So I understand that that can be kind of a sensitive issue. Now, also, House Bill 1335 is going to give students with disabilities some online accounts of state money to give them private school tuition. Is this the first step of kind of opening this door where there are going to be some voucher options for people as far as public education is concerned?
Well, another sensitive issue, yes. That on the surface sounds like a great thing to do, but therein lies the problem. You hit the nail on the head. People are worried that if you open the door for any type of voucher, then the river will run through it. And that's a concern to lawmakers that have stood strong for public education.
Kyle Cassell joining us this morning. Is it's Friday in Austin. Now, the conference committee has been named for the budget, and of course Senator Schwertner, we talked to him earlier this week, and the big impasse, I guess, up front is that $2.5 billion difference, and the fact that the House wants to go ahead and take some money out of the rainy day fund, and the Senate doesn't want to. What kind of talk are you hearing as these two parties start getting together?
Well, let's just start with this. The Senate decided they want to go home, so the Conference Committee didn't meet last night.
Okay.
And we finished up another late night. We still had multiple committees that went through. But the House overwhelmingly said, look, there's going to be $12 billion in this thing. Let's shore up the budget, not use any gimmicks. And from what I'm understanding, talking to our conferees, we've had a very good first 2 days. You know, obviously being closely related to Texas A&M and Blinn in our backyard and, you know, Baylor and other schools in my district, I'm focusing on my colleague Trent Ashby in Article 3 in higher education. And he says he's having a good week. So when I'm reflecting on my district and back home, I'm going to focus on that. That budget is going to be tough, and we'll see how Zerwas and Senator Nelson go head-to-head at the end and where we end up on the $2.5 billion and the opportunity to use the Economic Stabilization Fund. Because when we talk about that, using it, I'm going to focus on what the real name is, the Economic Stabilization Fund.
Yeah, we don't want John Rainey getting credit for that, do we?
No. But I'm glad he's on appropriations worrying about it all day. They're actually meeting right now.
Oh, my.
So,
wow.
So the conferees are reporting to the full committee so we can have a concise House plan. And I think that's really admirable of those guys. I'm glad they're there.
Finally today, I believe the manufacturer of warfarin has decided that they want to step back from that a little bit and not try to seek a permit here in Texas.
That seems to be their plan. I guess that came out earlier in the week, and we had a press release from the Texas Department of Agriculture as well. You know, there's some serious concerns, and, you know, whether we get the bill passed, we have questions whether our House bill will get to the Senate and the Senate will hear it or not. But I'm glad that people realize there is a health concern to our constituents, and we need to step back and make sure we do what's right. I mean, I want to state on for the radio and all the listeners, having every tool in the toolbox to control the wild hog population is critical, but we can't do it at the detriment of our citizens.
And finally, I guess, Representative Bond, and he did something pretty interesting, I think, during the sanctuary hearing, is that you got 100 amendments together, and he said, let's just vote on those 100 amendments and vote them up or down and get the heck out of here.
Right.
That was kind of an interesting thing.
it was very interesting. Well, the votes weren't going to change. It was, you know, we got into, when we were delirious, you know, trying to figure out if it was going to be 91 or 93 to 55 or 52. So, you know, that helped us get through the night. But we were working on deals all day. We had a 2.5 hour. We stood at ease, and we thought we had a deal. And I'm going to give credit to Representative Schaefer. That was the sticky amendment. But he offered to pull that down 4 times to get a consensus and get that voted out and get us home. And that would have changed the dynamic of the bill. Now the bill is very similar to the Senate bill, and you know, we've also heard that Governor Abbott doesn't like that section. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting how Sanctuary City rolls out when it does get to the governor's desk.
And one more thing on Bonin, because he was pretty active. He also put forth an idea to eventually get rid of the franchise tax, which businesses like, but that's going to put a hole in the budget. And so do we have property tax relief on the horizon?
We may. That's what we talked about yesterday, and they cleared it up at the end of that debate. After, you know, I think everybody wanted to go home, but it was important to hear that. But I'm going to quote Representative Rinaldi and trying to figure out the deal. And he said, if we spend what we need to spend and then there's a surplus, we give it back to the taxpayers, correct? And Bonin simply said, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, again, there's going to be a hole there. There's $1.8 billion in franchise tax revenue in the two-year budget cycle right now. If that goes away, it's got to come from someplace else. And
I'll say this. My friends on appropriations weren't excited about that debate yesterday.
No. I guess we patch that hole in the road and we'll let somebody else take care of it 2 years from now. So.
Well, let's just say this. Based on where we are in the session and that being on the floor yesterday and going to the Senate, there's no appetite there. We're at the point where things are starting to get in line at the end of the line, and they may not see the light of day. So
yeah, I hear you. If you haven't gotten in there, you know, if you're not at the front of the line right now, you may not get heard.
Exactly.
Well, we'll look forward to having a conversation with you next Thursday. Maybe things will be a little more normal over there, okay?
Well, I can tell you this, Wednesdays are turning out to be the long night, so we'll do our best to be here on Thursday morning for you,
all right.
I promise I'll be sleep-deprived again.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Scott.
You bet. All right.